at Top Grove Hill. Welcome into the very best day of your life. Honored and happy to be sharing the afternoon with you. It's a beautiful day outside. And as promised, the county executive, Freddie County, is here. Frank Mitchell's not here. I don't know where he is. Don't care. Bob Dacey filling in very handily for the missing Frank Mitchell. If anyone sees him, you might want to give him directions to the radio station. Also, we have the text line as our call-in number, also 301-694-9363. Text line brought to us by Vet Urgency, urgent care for your pets. Thank you, Vet Urgency. Good afternoon, County Exec. How you be?
I'm great. How are you, Tim?
I tell you, after this weekend, Jan, there was so much great stuff going. Did you get up to Utica?
No, I didn't get up to Utica.
At
the end of last week, including on Saturday, I was at the Maryland Association of Counties.
Oh, yeah, MACO or whatever it's called.
I have not yet figured out how to be two places at once, but if I had been here, I would have been. Gone to Utica Picnic. I've been to it before. It's a great community event, and it's one of those special kind of events
that
really builds community.
I like it. It reminds me of the fair. You get there about once a year, obviously, and it's almost like Happy New Year. I haven't seen you since last year. So it's good. It's good. Lots of free stuff going on in Freddie County. Lots of great stuff. And what is the state of the county today?
State of the county is excellent.
Well, that's the best thing to hear. And my taxes will be going down. Thank you so much. You heard it here first. No, I tried. I really did. But there was a report out from your office saying that as a county exec, that you have had some savings and or cost reductions as such. And I believe, county exec, that it kind of like a phenomenal number, like $70
million? Yes.
How? Where? Why? Thank you.
So one of my jobs as county executive is to protect taxpayers and make sure we squeeze a dime out of every nickel. So I really wanted to share with people the savings that we've had during my administration. So they come from three sources. One is ending privatization that cost taxpayers more, things we could do in-house cheaper and make sure we delivered a high level of service to citizens. Two was renegotiating agreements. I've renegotiated a couple of agreements, one recently, which really kind of led to this whole announcement. And the third was getting that third AAA bond rating allowed us to refinance county debt to lower interest rates. So refinancing debt saved $8 million. And on our new issuance of debt, we saved over $5 million. So
now,
I can tell you what the biggest one is if you want to know.
Tell me the biggest one.
The biggest one is we renegotiated
with
a deal with the developers of Lake Linganore Oakdale for the interchange at Meadow Road and I-70. The prior administration had agreed to a deal that would defer $77 million of property taxes over 30 years, and we renegotiated that to a lower amount. So the project is now going to cost about $15 million instead of $25.7 million, and we will pay out $29 million over 20 years, a shorter time period, and that will save taxpayers $48 million.
These numbers are impressive in this respect, but I'm going to ask you the questions that any normal person, and I try to say any person should say to you, okay, you're saved $70 million. Where's that money, and how do I get part of it? How does it come back to – I know it helps me because my taxes aren't going to go up, but how does it come back?
Well, it comes back – I mean, the $48 million I just talked about is money we're going to save over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the same with some of the interest savings, that money we saved over the next few years. And so what it means is we have – can take this money – redirect it to some things that we need in the county, whether it's education, more people in public safety, and not have to raise taxes to do that. But over time, it may mean that we can actually lower the tax rate.
Which is what I'm hoping to live long enough for.
Which is what people want.
Exactly
right.
But
they still also want the services. They want to make sure we
no
have the best teachers in the classroom.
No
and they
question.
Certainly want somebody to answer the call at 911 and have somebody show up that can take care of that issue. So, you know, 75% of our budget is education, public safety. It's fundamentally what we do.
Sure.
But I think it's important for people to know that we went through a lot of these contracts and looked at what we could save bringing things in-house. And those savings repeat over time. So, for instance, we save $500,000 a year by doing tree trimming in-house instead of through contractors.
And how much of a saving is that?
$500,000 a year.
So it would cost us $500,000. To hire somebody on the outside, but we can do it ourselves.
That's correct.
Okay.
And
I'm good with that.
HVAC maintenance work, Because we have, again, 67, over 120 buildings in Frederick County government. And we can save $100,000 a year by doing maintenance on our HVAC equipment in-house. And that's, you know, a lot of money over time.
Yeah.
And we are, our fleet staff is prepping sheriff's officer cruisers, which saves about $58,000 a year. And again, that multiplies every year. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good savings. And, you know, we brought some of the renovation crew, we created a renovation crew to maintain our buildings. And we saved $45 a square foot on the remodeling of the Citizen Services building. And that's a lot of money.
I think there's a twofold. I'm going to add twofold prong on this. I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to have to take 694-9363. Terry, can we check on the status of solar arrays pending in the county, particularly the Ligure? Yes, we can do that. Let me say it again, slow, Jan. Not before you, for me. Can we check on the status of on solar arrays pending in the county, particularly the Ligure Road project, please? And thank you. You're welcome, Terry.
Okay. That's a regular question. The Ligure Bridge project has been debated with the Public Service Commission, and we're actually appealing a decision that they made related to that because it was inconsistent with our law. So it's going to go back and forth for a little while longer, but I don't
What do they say? What is the county saying?
Well, the county council passed a law, and it's our opinion that any future projects have to come back through the county council for a floating zone to be permitted. And some people are saying they predated that law and they don't have to follow it. So,
like grandfathered in or something?
It's not grandfathered.
No, but I mean, so that would be their...
That would be part of the argument.
Okay, good.
But it's a little more complicated than that. There's also some inconsistency in how the Public Service Commission has ruled. They ruled one way on one case and it almost... in a contradictory way on another case. So it just has to be worked out.
Okay. When we left off at the break, I asked you, you were telling me how the money had been saved. I was going to ask you straight out, is there any time in government then where a private sector could do a job, equal quality job but of less money? For example, like recycling.
Absolutely. We do use a contractor for recycling, so that's a good example. You know, the county doesn't do trash collection. We have the private sector doing trash collection. We run the landfill and the mm-hmm. transfer station, but we don't do collection. And so recycling is a good example. We also don't pave roads. Okay. We use a contractor to pave roads.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And so, so the things that where we can save money are the things that we do, generally speaking, and there's exceptions to this too, things that we do every day over and over again that we can develop expertise and have enough work for staff to do every day.
Let's go to the phone. John wants to ask you a question for the county exec. John, you're on with the county exec.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Hi, John.
So a question for you. You know, I've been hearing in the news and what you're talking about, all these cost savings. But the perception is they tend to materialize into the public domain around election time. Why don't they materialize in maybe the first year of your term in office?
Well, they've materialized throughout the term of my administration. We certainly have... looked at these contracts and ended some of the privatization that cost more from the first year I was in office. We also saved money. One of the things that contracts I renegotiated with Citizens in Montague, if we had proceeded with the sale, we would have had to find $7.5 million to go to that closing. And so we didn't have to come up with that money. That money was not in the budget. We've refinanced some of our debt over time, but we did get that third AAA bond rating in 2016, and that's when we got the lower rating. So we have done all of these things over time. And so really the key thing that was most recent was the renegotiation of the agreement for the construction of the I-70 Meadow Road interchange. That one just was completed recently, and that will save us $48 million over a 20-year time period. In property tax revenue that will come to the county instead of going to that road project.
John, does that answer?
And that's good. That's, you know, so I announced it because that's the timing of that. And then I thought I'd add all the rest of the things mm-hmm. that we've done over time. But certainly some of them I've announced earlier.
Satisfied, John, with her answer there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just seems that they always seem to come out during election season. Maybe a little bit more information getting out to the voters during your...
Sure.
multiple years in office that, you know, could, you know, help put it into context.
Appreciate your call, John. Thank you.
Thank you. I do try to share every time we introduce a budget or through that budget process how much money we're saving on certain things. So I do try to do that. I will tell you that a number of things I do, I have a press conference almost every week. Some of them get covered by the media and some of them don't. And a lot of times when we talk about the budget, which quite frankly I think is the most important thing we do, where we spend your money is really most important. It becomes seemingly so in the weeds that they it's not always covered well.
Do we have Jan? Do we have a line item veto by anybody? No, the council can cut, right?
The council can cut from the budget. They can't add to the budget, with the exception of public education. Mm-hmm. If I don't fully fund the request that comes from the Board of Education, which is usually large and always partially funded, they can add to that. So they can add to education, but they can't add to anything else. And that's quite typical across the state. Now, I have told the council that if they wanted to cut something and add somewhere else, if a majority of them wanted to do that, I would entertain that. This year, we did do that.
Okay. In what area was that done? Do you remember?
The volunteer position for the Fire and Rescue Association was cut, and we added that money to 911 communications.
Okay. 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. Chance to ask the questions to the county exec, because that's what she's here for. And we have a lot coming up, a lot going on, of course. When you said 75% of the budget is both education as well as fire and safety or
public safety.
I know that there is a group that watches over the money for public education. There's a school board, and they pretty much know what's going on, and they can, you know, move money around.
Yes.
But there's no such thing in public safety.
Well, we have an internal audit authority in Frederick County government, which actually audits the school system, the community college,
right,
and county government. And so they have audited fire and rescue before. They've audited, you know, ambulance billing. They've audited the purchase of materials. They've audited a lot of things.
Not the question of the question I'm asking is, there's no question audit, you know, that's a check and balance. I have no problem with that. But is there anyone I know in the Board of Education, you look at something, not just its cost and this is what we paid for it, but who actually, is there an oversight to fire and rescue? I mean, what is the oversight? Not that I know of anything wrong, but I don't know of any oversight. I know we have a huge budget. I know that it's usually funded to capacity or whatever can be with money there. But it doesn't have, where is the oversight?
Well,
is there oversight?
There's oversight from your elected officials, okay?
Yeah.
Because we review the budget every year.
But the budget
actually monitor what's spent. You know, a high percentage of their the fire and rescue budget is salary.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I do meet with the division directors every other week, twice a month, and the CAO meets with them more frequently than that. And not only do we have financial audits, we do have performance audits that are done. I guess, actually, they're done by outside contractors through the internal audit authority.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I'm not making my question very good.
So, you know, how that money is spent is a priority that's established through the budget process, which is a public process. So, I would say fire and rescue generally, you know, outside of education, gives me the largest and longest and most detailed budget request. Now, that request goes through the Volunteer Fire and Rescue Association, also goes to the Fire Advisory Board. So the Fire Advisory Board is reviews all the policy and procedures and the things that happen in the fire service. And that's done in a public process, too. But every dollar that is spent there and every choice that is made there has to be justified through that budget process.
Or are they school days, good old golden school days, you know, reading, writing and all that? What's going on with the Frederick County school system that you can talk about from your level?
Well, of course, we're going to have the first day of school on September 4th after Labor Day.
Amen.
Since we're now after
Have you formed Labor an opinion
day.
On that? You're not going to get into that controversy, are you?
No,
smart
I'm not going to get into
lady.
It right now. I think it has its pluses and its minuses.
Sure.
Some years we can't do what we need to do with that start date. But Anyway, we won't go there.
Okay.
September 4th is the first day of school, so we're going to be opening two new elementary schools this year. One is Butterfly Ridge, which is nearby. It's going to relieve overcrowding at Hillcrest and to some extent at Waverly. And I have toured the school. It is a beautiful new school. It has an oversized gymnasium for a park and rec program that the city of Frederick will run.
I'm looking forward to that postponed open house.
And we have also the same floor plan opening in Urbana, Sugarloaf Elementary School. And it
Where's that located, Jan?
It is about, it's right beside the Urbana Park by the fire company, not far from the fire company, not far from the Urbana Elementary School. Yeah. And its property backs kind of all the way down to 270. It's the same floor plan with a few variations as Butterfly Ridge, which is also the same floor plan as North Frederick Elementary School.
Which is beautiful.
Different color schemes. They change like one or two things every time they build this design to pick something up. But it really is a very nice school that really use a lot of natural light. They have a nice library. Their cafeteria also has a stage for performances, and they have also an oversized gymnasium for a park and rec program, which the county will run there. That school has about 200 or 230 more seats than the current Urbana Elementary School. So when the current Urbana Elementary School population moves in there in the fall, it should not be overcrowded. It'll be full, but not overcrowded.
Good.
And but for those who are concerned about costs and
of
you. Wouldn't call these two schools ostentatious, would you?
No. I think they're very nice schools. They'll serve the community for...
They will, but they are ostentatious.
...a couple generations to come. What do you think's ostentatious about them?
Well, I think things such as bathrooms in every classroom is kind of out of it. I think that the opening and the width of the hallways is kind of ridiculous, but that's all. There's other, in my humble opinion. But
we've been building elementary schools for years with bathrooms off of the classrooms, yes. Mm. I mean, when my kids went to Spring Ridge Elementary School many moons ago, and that school was built in the early 90s, they have bathrooms.
In the classroom.
Off the classrooms, yes. Mm. And so, nobody has to monitor a child going down the hall, so particularly if they're young.
Okay.
And so it makes it easy for the teacher to manage that. So that's a standard procedure. So the schools will be very nice. So, and then after the Urbana Elementary School students are opened into Sugarloaf Elementary School, the next plan is to tear down the current Urbana Elementary School and rebuild a new school there. So when that
Urbana Elementary?
As Urbana Elementary. So when that Urbana Elementary School opens, they'll redistrict between the elementary schools that serve Urbana and reduce the school overcrowding in that part of the county.
Now, I know this. You're not the school board or the school system. Is there a lot of redistricting going on, as you know of, or isn't... I noticed I had talked to some parents, or parents had talked to me, wanted to know what could be done. The kids were being moved around and,
The redistricting procedures are always done by the school system. It's a facilitated and long process, so parents can participate in it. And they usually look at many, many alternatives. So a lot of parents don't want their kids to move to a new school, even though the new school may have some new features in it and technology that the existing school may or may not have. So I always say that's a positive because it means that parents like the school they're in. They're happy with the education their kids are receiving, even though they really don't necessarily want their kids to be in an overcrowded school.
Not to throw a wrench into this, but a question comes up, and it's a fair question. I don't think you have an answer or that you're allowed to give it. What percentage of Butterfly Ridge students are illegal?
Well, I'd have no way of knowing the answer to that question. How many students may not be in the country
legally,
that are legally present?
And I don't think it's a question. I don't see it as a question of we don't want the children. I think it's a question of how much taxes are actually being spent for this. And you won't answer because I don't think you have the answer. And I don't think the school boards are going to answer because they do have the answer.
We don't have an answer for that. And I will say that, our schools are to educate all the children that come through their doors. They're public schools. And, the Supreme Court decided that we would educate all of the children that mm-hmm. come you don't have a choice. Our public schools. And so we do not have a choice to do that. And we certainly want to have an educated population for the future. So that's the answer to
Does
that
anyone,
question.
But you do a lot of out and about with the public. Do you ever get that question?
No, I don't get that question, to be honest with you.
I didn't.
And I am out and about all the time. I go to events all over the county all the time. That's really not a regular question that I get.
Fair enough.
Maybe because they know it's not a question that I can really provide an answer to.
That would make sense.
And so we're looking forward to the first day of school. Also, in the Jefferson, Brunswick, Rosemont region, we're going to break ground on September 12th for a new park called Othello Park.
Now, where did it come up? I know what Othello is, didn't I?
It is the name of a local family that in the area. So generally, the parks are either named for some kind of geographic recognition or they're named for an individual that was from that area. And so the latter is the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will have, during the budget process, we had the most advocacy for parks and trails than we had anything else, even for public education, public safety.
So we're a healthy bunch.
The people that the athletic leagues really can turn out people to really advocate for more athletic fields, which is what they get with these parks. So,
Frank's a big athletic supporter, so that's, he's known that throughout the county.
A few weeks ago, we broke ground for phase two of the Utica District Park. And so we're adding turf fields at both of these locations, as well as a number of multi-use fields. So kids can play baseball or soccer or a variety of other sports. So they'll be heavily used. And really, the Jefferson-Brunswick area is the only part of the county that does not have a regional park.
Perfect. I think so. We have questions coming in. Let's go first to Bill, Frank. Well, not Bill Frank, but Bill. Bill, good afternoon. You're with the county exec, Jan Gardner.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I'm Madam Executive. How are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm well, and I know I owe you a phone call, so I will try to get back to you.
I just wanted to let you know that I do need to still talk to you. I'm not going to bring the personal business of somebody else over the radio.
Yep.
But I do need to talk to you. It's very important. And, Tim, you're not going to get any answer on the count for the illegals, because that's been tried by Lenny Thompson, Charles Jenkins, and I many years ago, and we still haven't got it. So, but thank you, Jan. I will wait for your call.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Take care.
Okay, 301-694-9363. We go from Bill to John. John, what say you?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, John. What say you?
Hi, John.
Hey, hi. How you doing, Jan?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I just tuned in, and maybe it's already been talked about, but what is the latest on something with Route 15? Is there any plan that's not 10 years down the road to improve Route 15, especially from, like, Route 40 to Mater Avenue?
Well, that's actually a very timely question. I met with the Secretary of Transportation for the state, Pete Ron, and the section of U.S. 15 that runs through the city from I-70 up to Maryland 26 has been through a public process with alternatives and some preliminary design and engineering. The state has not been able to find the dollars to fund that project. So the earliest you will see construction of those improvements is 2024. Obviously, the county officials and the city officials are pretty upset about that, because we thought, since they had gone through design and engineering, that those construction dollars would be imminent. But they tell us that the money coming into the transportation trust fund at the state are not adequate to keep that project moving forward. So we're pretty unhappy about that. And certainly there's been a lot of advocacy, including my discussion with the secretary last week.
Very good. Thank you, John, for your call. Thank you for the answer, Dan.
No problem.
I'll have to lay it. We'll have to
and,
leave
of course, I have to tell you, the county has 1,300 miles of county roads, and we also maintain about 40 bridge and culvert structures, 400 of them. And we do a good job maintaining county roads. The roads we get the most complaints about are generally state secondary roads and our interstate roads, which are managed by state highway. So we're really advocating for state and federal dollars for those roadways. The cost to, say, upgrade an added lane to I-270 from the Montgomery County line up to the city of Frederick is in the billions of dollars. And, you know, our annual budget is about $600 million. It's not something that we can afford to do within the county budget. So we're always advocating for those federal and state dollars. And, you know, right now it's hard to ever tell what Congress will do, but in the next few years they'll need to reauthorize the federal transportation bill, and that could have an impact on whether there is future funding for these road projects. One thing everybody agrees on is that we need to invest in infrastructure.
No question. Okay, Matt, what's up?
Well, I just had one quick question. First of all, I wanted to thank you, Jen, for coming on.
I pay her a lot to do this. Go ahead.
Is panhandling legal in Frederick County?
Panhandling along the roadways is not legal in Frederick County, and it can be enforced by the sheriff's office, and that's in the unincorporated parts of the county. And part of that is a public safety issue with people standing in the middle of the road. And that law passed at least a decade or more ago. And so I do think people can probably panhandle in front of a store or someplace like that. But
not legally.
They can't legally panhandle in the middle of the road, which is where generally you see people.
Down around so Sam's Club and Walmart.
Why would Walmart anywhere on any of the interchanges on 85 and 355? I mean, it's every corner, and they have to drive by that to get to Marcy's Choice. I don't understand.
Well, if you see people panhandling, you can call the sheriff's office. I'd call the non-emergency number, which I don't happen to know off the top of my head, but and report it. And so somebody should come out and look at it. Now, some roads, those are state roads, but they're still patrolled by the sheriff's office. Some state roads are patrolled by the sheriff's office, and some are not.
And
I drive that intersection every single day, and there's 4 to 6 people. I'm just bouncing around on that intersection. It's crazy. And some of them, I'm afraid they're going to fall into traffic.
Hey, Matt, that's my relatives down there that make your living. I can tell you also, there's part of that's the city. Did you know that? The city goes all the way down to the mall in certain areas. Didn't know that, did you?
Yeah.
I thought it stopped there right at the 75 AVI because I've seen the city police officers turn at that block, but, you know, right where the police, you know, the panhandlers were. Right. And I've seen sheriff's office go right by him.
Right. Well, yes, yeah.
Well, it is not legal in Frederick County. I mean, that's the answer to your question. Now, whether that's the top priority of police to enforce is a whole other story.
I bet they base it a lot on how many complaints they get. If they got a lot of complaints, they might enforce it more.
But I do agree with Matt that it's something that you do see regularly happening. And I think there are some people who feel intimidated and fearful about people collecting money along the side of the road. And we have had organizations actually come in and try to collect money along the side of the road. Now, the firefighters do fill the boot for muscular dystrophy. But there are other organizations that have come in and collected money along the side of roads, too. And some of them aren't even from the area.
Right. And I, like a dummy, give them all money because I don't know any better. 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. Jan, just a couple of minutes left. Anything that I missed that you want to bring up?
The only thing I'll bring up is that, you know, we do have a number of tax credit programs that people can apply for. We have a senior tax credit. We also have the homeowner's property tax credit. And those applications are due by September 1st. And so I would encourage people to find that information out. They can go to the county webpage or they can call the State Department of Assessment and Taxation, who manages that. And there is also a renter's tax credit. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't know about it. So I'll just remind people that that deadline is coming up on September 1st. And some people can have as much as their entire property tax bill abated through the state homeowner's property tax credit.
Yes. I'm going to get a hold of them people. I got to go get that number. I'll get that right down.
Let me ask
Frank, go ahead.
It seems like it's been a long time since the serious flooding that we've had early summer, but still I'm hearing developments. Is there anything since your last visit here in the past few weeks from people who still have issues from all the flooding that we had a couple few months ago?
Well, you heard for a while that we had people in a section of Clover Hill that was in the county that had backup flooding. And we are paying for some of that repair through our insurer. And so that's in the process. We're also out there evaluating what we can do along with homeowners to make sure that that is not repeated. Sometimes homeowners can make decisions that cause flooding by putting their the rainwater that comes off their roof into their sump pump, which then overflows. And so it should go out into the yard. And so we also did get federal money for reimbursement for our roadways and public infrastructure damage, and that covers about 75% of the cost. And we've also filed to see if we can qualify to get that upgraded to about 85% of the cost. So that's an outstanding decision. So again, that information has been, we've had public meetings out at the public safety training facility on that, trying to get people to report their damage and to qualify for loans and grants they might be able to qualify for. But there's mostly loans out there through the SBA.
One last quick question. You mentioned MACO. I don't know if everybody knows that's Maryland Association of Counties. Did we get any, as taxpayers, practical benefits from what you might have gathered at the conference in Ocean City? I know you're a high-profile person in MACO.
Yes, I am an officer of the Maryland Association of Counties. I'm actually right now the secretary. I have been a past president back in 2007.
Any information
course,
you got that we could use?
We always have great information. But I had the opportunity, again, to meet with the Secretary of Transportation when I was there to put our transportation priorities in front of him and all his staff. And I think that's very valuable. A lot of meetings with other counties about a whole variety of topics and presentations. So you can be very proud. I think we can all be very proud that I went to presentation on Next Generation 911, and Jack Markey was one of the presenters who's our director here in the county. And that's really all about making sure we can locate your cell phone when you call in from a cell phone within 10 meters.
Emergency
and,
preparedness.
Also a lot on stormwater management.
All right, we appreciate it. Jan Garner, County Exec, spent the hour with us. We thank you for listening. We're coming back right after the top of the hour, coming up on the third hour, 5 o'clock, Free Talk Radio, 930 WFMD.
Thank
you. News, weather, traffic, and free talk for midnight.